Have you ever been on the phone with someone or talking with your boss maybe or at the doctor's office and someone says, well, I've got some good news, I've got some bad news. Which one do you want first? Has that ever happened to you? You heard that? I have, and I always, always ask for the bad news first, because then I know I can have something good to look forward to on the other side of hearing some bad news. So that's what I've got for you this morning on this Reformation Sunday. I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the bad news first, because then you'll know that there's some good stuff to look forward to on the other side. So here's the bad news. We're messed up. We've got problems. We don't listen to what God tells us to do. I don't know about you, but I know this is true for me. And I can give you some examples. Sometimes I know that I should do something, like read the Bible. But I don't do it because, well, I have a paper due tomorrow, and I've got an exam on Tuesday, and there's just not a lot of time left for reading Scripture. Or, gosh, I had such a big day today, I'm so exhausted, and Modern Family's on, and I love that show, so let's just watch that show, right? Scripture. Or, I know I should do something, like help a friend study for that exam on Tuesday, or help out with a community event, or call a grandparent and say, I love you. But I'll do it, but I'll be bummed out the whole time. Or I'll do it and be happy, and I'll come home and be resentful about having spent that time on those things. Even though I was just doing what I was supposed to be doing, I'll be resentful, especially if I don't get any thanks for doing what I was supposed to be doing. And those are just the things that I know that I'm doing wrong. How many times have I hurt a friend or a family member because of something I've said or something I've done? I don't even recognize it. The Bible says we do this stuff all the time, every single one of us. Ecclesiastes says, no one is righteous. No, not one. It's all over the place. 1 Kings 8, 2 Chronicles 6, Proverbs 20, Psalm 143, Romans 3, all these places say, we've got problems. They tell us this bad news. You know, Paul himself admits, I want to do what is good, but I don't do it. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it. And guys, that's Paul. They call him Saint Paul for a reason. He was a good man, right? He definitely, certainly loved the Lord. There's another guy who talks about this bad news a lot. And we're celebrating today his courage in protesting against the Catholic Church and putting 95 complaints on the door of a chapel in Germany. I think Anthony might have talked about him this morning. Do you guys know who that is? Martin Luther, that's right. Yeah, Martin Luther. Martin Luther, if you don't know, this is a great story, became a monk after he got caught in a lightning storm. And so he prayed to God that he would join a monastery if God would just keep him alive through that lightning storm. You can kind of imagine everything coming down around him. He survived and he became a monk. In the monastery, he learned about how to earn a place in heaven by keeping God's commandments. So he did that. He did just that. He was very disciplined and very obedient. He fasted for up to 3 days at a time, no food. Often he slept on the stone floor of his room, refusing blankets because he thought that God would be more impressed by his self-denial. Once he confessed for 6 hours straight. He tried to do everything he could do to earn God's grace. And years later, looking back, Luther wrote that if anyone could have earned heaven by the life of a monk, it was I. But Luther was really troubled by this. Because no matter what, I mean, after confessing for 6 hours or fasting for 3 days, he still found that he could never quite obey God. He kept messing up. Reflecting on this, Luther wrote, sometimes I was proud and I would say, I have done nothing wrong today. But then I would ask, have you done enough? Had he fasted enough? Had he prayed enough? Had he suffered enough or served enough? He was dismayed because he knew that he couldn't fully obey God's law. And so thinking about God's law, Luther said, "The words righteous and righteousness of God, they struck my conscience like lightning." And you guys know he takes lightning pretty seriously, right? He gave his life away after a lightning storm. Thinking about what God's righteousness meant for him, Luther said he was driven to the very abyss of despair. Luther knew too well the bad news that I'm sharing with you guys this morning, that we don't obey God. We don't quite do what he wants us to do. It's never quite enough. So there's the bad news. If our salvation is dependent on what we do, we are in big trouble. But I promised you there would be some good news, right? Aren't you glad that I did that, the bad news first? We need something to lift us up. So I promised you there would be some good news, and here it is. I'm telling you guys, this is the best news we could ever, ever hear. We don't need to depend on our own strength or our own goodness or our own wisdom for salvation. God loves us so much that he gave his son Jesus Christ to be sacrificed on our behalf. All that we have to do is believe in him, and he forgives us for all of our failures. When we don't read the Bible, even though we know we're supposed to, when we only begrudgingly help a friend or call a relative to say, "I love you." And for sins that we don't even confess because we are so blind that we fail to see them, Jesus pays the price for all of these sins. His forgiveness is total. There's no deductible. There's no copay. Jesus paid it all. I don't know about you, but I have a really hard time imagining that God forgives all my sins, that his love could be big enough to forgive so many wrongs. When I struggle with this, I think about a story I found once in a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning, and that's a book I recommend to anyone. It's enjoyable and uplifting, but here's a story. A few years ago, in a large city in the far west, rumors spread that a certain woman was having visions of Jesus. Before long, the local pastor heard about this, and so he decided to drop by and investigate. "Is it true, ma'am, that you have visions of Jesus?" asked the pastor. "Yes," the woman replied simply. "Well, the next time you have a vision, I want you to ask Jesus to tell you the sins I confessed in my last prayer." The woman was stunned. "Did I hear you right? You want me to ask Jesus the sins of your past?" "Exactly. Please call me if anything happens." So 10 days later, the woman calls the pastor and she tells him, "Hey, swing by if you ever get a chance." Within the hour, he's at her house, right? "You just told me on the phone that you actually had a vision of Jesus. Did you do what I asked?" "Yes, pastor. I asked Jesus to tell me the sins you confessed in your last prayer." The pastor leaned forward with anticipation, and his eyes narrowed. "What did Jesus say?" She took his hands and gazed deep into his eyes. "Pastor, these were his exact words. I can't remember." After sharing that story, the author of that book, Brennan Manning, writes that Christianity happens when men and women accept with unwavering trust that their sins have not only been forgiven, but forgotten, washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Just like our Old Testament reading said in Jeremiah, God says that I will remember their sins no more. It might be tough for us to imagine such radical forgiveness, mostly because we're so messed up that we often forgive through clenched teeth. Forgiving but not forgetting, and leaving a balance on our friends' and family's accounts. God doesn't do that, though. In our affirmation of faith this morning, each of us declared that Jesus Christ, my Lord, freed me from all sins with his holy and precious blood. Not for just a handful, or the hard ones, or the easy ones, or his ones, not mine. He paid for all of them. And that's the good news, guys. It's such good news that we usually capitalize the G and we capitalize the N when we put it on our Bibles and call it the good news. It's, It's the good news, the best news. Well, what does that mean for us? Does that mean that we can do whatever we want? No way. Paul says in Romans 6 that those who have died to sin cannot go on living in it. If we get a little taste of that grace, well, we can't just go on sinning and do whatever we want. But it also means that we have to stop trying to earn grace ourselves. You see, that's what's going on in today's scripture, in Paul's letter to the Galatians. You see, after Paul came to Galatia to share the good news, capital G, capital N, some Jewish missionaries came and told the Christians in Galatia that if they wanted to be saved, they had to follow the law of Moses, which includes being circumcised. And these Galatians started to get confused and a little scared, but they figured, well, we've just got to start living by these rules. They're showing us. It's in Scripture, or else we're toast. But what Paul says is, wait a second. Don't get mixed up now. The things that we do to follow Jesus, trusting and teaching and serving, all of those things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks in Pastor Courtney's sermon series, we only do these things in response to God's incredible goodness. They're not going to earn us a spot in heaven. It's God's love that does that. And sometimes, in fact, our good works can keep us just as separate from God as our bad works, if they make us think that we can depend on anyone other than Christ for our salvation. That's why Paul says in our scripture this morning, if you let yourselves be circumcised and follow the rules and thereby earn your salvation, Christ is no benefit to you. If you want to be justified by the law, you've cut yourself off from Christ and fallen away from grace. But the people who live by the Spirit wait to receive by faith, the righteousness that God promised us. If we believe in Christ Jesus, friends, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. That's the same response that Luther had to the Catholic leaders who made it seem like people could earn their way to heaven by checking off the list, following the rules, being a good person. No, we know that we can't get ourselves into heaven by our own merits. Only Christ can do that for us. Only Christ. Only his grace. That's why Luther said, sola gratia. So there's the kicker. You already sang it this morning, and Susan led us in that hymn by Martin Luther called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Do you remember? We sang, if we in our own strength confide, our striving is going to be what? Losing. That's right. Our striving isn't going to get us anywhere. But the good news is this, friends. We've got the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. Christ Jesus, it is he. Not we, but he. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Mary, for the good news and for the good word. One of the other blessings that we have in our reference.